For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Did you hear what Chris Villar said? Tell me you heard what Chris Villar said.
Three games back.
As you wake up today, our football team is 1-0, and our baseball team is in, drumroll please, a playoff race. John, good morning. Heather, good morning. Tom, Greg, everybody, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a great morning.
I don't know that I'm buying in just yet.
Come on, John. We said
the
three.
Reality.
Three. Come on.
Three. Well, three with couple. What? Maybe seven games left? Because they've got the Sox with, you know, for the final three games. And I know, Minnesota has Baltimore for the final three. Okay. At that point, I could say, yeah, you're in a race. Although they're actually four behind Minnesota because of the tiebreaker.
If we want to get technical, I know if you look at the standings.
It's kind of what we do.
I know. It's not as fun, though. Three on the standings.
It's not as fun.
Four is because the Twins have the head-to-head tiebreaker. There's no game 163. If they finish with the identical record, the Tigers will be left out. It would be a Red Wing situation where you'd have the same number of wins and points, but you wouldn't get in. It is three on the standings. We'll talk about a playoff race. We promised we would. It's part of the show plan today. It's a Tuesday, which means two Grand Slam. It's a Tuesday, which means Greg Palm, 6:35. What happens? Michigan and Notre Dame got to fall out. Who moves in? Yeah. Who moves in? We'll find out. Any shuffling inside the top 12 playoff teams early in the college football season? You watched the Monday night game?
I did. We had a lot of San Francisco 49er fans in the house, which was what made it difficult because I was rooting for one thing silently because out of respect for the San Francisco fans. And every time that they would score, I thought, and it wasn't like I wasn't angry because there's 16 more games that they're going to play. But to know that their top player, Christian McCaffrey, was not playing. And I had, you guys probably read the prep as I was doing this, and I'm like, is it too much? Ayuk wasn't back until last week.
He dropped a touchdown. Yep.
Well, yeah, he had a couple of drops. And I'm sure part of that is that he wasn't in camp. You're going to have some of those. But offensive linemen not around. You got guys injured. Brock Purdy didn't look good in the preseason. And then the regular season started, and damn, they look good. They are an absolute juggernaut.
The Christian McCaffrey thing is one of those low-key, awful nights for fantasy owners. Yep. You get the news right before the game.
Yeah, he was my number one pick. And you play on Monday night, right? And you're always in this conundrum of, do I play somebody who is, you know, doubtful? Or because if he plays, he's going to put up big numbers.
Yeah.
I needed big numbers. I didn't get anything, and I had no recourse.
What child did you lose to?
Lucy.
Oh boy. 0-1 for John Jansen.
0-1. But there's 16 more. Let's go.
But is it the most Niners thing / the most Shanahan thing? Next man up. Mason comes in, runs for 150 yards, had a touchdown, had another one taken off the board. Like, rinse, repeat, running game is still there. And I thought the rookie right guard that they got out of Kansas.
Well, it's like the running game that his dad had at Denver.
Yeah.
Like, you plug in a running back, and they're 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards. Oh, well, this one wants a new contract. Well, we'll trade him, and we'll just plug in a new running back. The offense that, and especially the way that Kyle Shanahan runs it, I think Jordan Mason is a good back. Is he great? You put him in another offense, he's probably average. But you put Christian McCaffrey in any offense, and yeah, he's great. But the way that Kyle Shanahan calls the offense, the creativity that he has, and everybody says, oh, well, it's motion. Everybody runs motions. But and this is where I have an issue with some other coaches that maybe we'll talk about later. is setting plays up in the first quarter for something that you have an idea you want to run in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter. Now, fourth quarter didn't matter against the Jets, but when you have that type of offensive mind that I'm doing this because I know I'm going to get the defense to overcompensate and then I'm going to come back with another play on the other side. With same motion, same personnel group.
Ben Johnson does a lot of that for Detroit.
He does, but Kyle Shanahan has a doctorate in it.
Yeah.
He is so good at calling an offense, just not in the Super Bowl.
We're going to do a lot of check-ins because that is the team they're chasing. Who looked better in week one? Who is the best team in the NFC in week one?
So if we say, I don't want to throw the Lions under the bus because I thought the Lions were good. Mm-hmm. Could they have been better? Sure. But San Francisco is by far the best team in the NFC. One game sample, but they operated on both sides of the ball. Now, defense, too. Right? They don't have, was it Greenlaw? Because he is down with the injury he suffered in the playoffs. They didn't miss him. Now, it's not that they don't need him. And when he comes back, look out. It's a really good team.
Yeah, the Niners look the best of anybody in the NFC in week one. You score 30-plus points against the Jets defense, I respect. They scored more points than the Lions. The offense hummed in a way that the Lions didn't. The Niners, for 1 week, were the best team in the NFC.
They punted once last night.
Yeah.
They punted once. And
was it like seven straight drives with points?
Eight. Six were field goals, though.
Yeah.
And you look at Aaron Rodgers, and is Aaron Rodgers done? He's nowhere near where he was when he was winning MVPs with the Green Bay Packers, but he had one drive that ended in a touchdown with that looked legitimate, like good. 12 plays, 70 yards, and they showed him on the sidelines, and he was talking to his guys. Oh, yeah, there's more of that to come. After that, it was three and out, one play half. Come out. For the second half, three plays, three and out, but interception, and then five plays, which is when they got their touchdown. They had the big play.
Mm-hmm. The free play.
They could not find any rhythm offensively. Some of it was Aaron Rodgers being uncomfortable in the pocket. Some of it was just the pressure put on by San Francisco. And this is a guy that knows as much about Kyle Shanahan's offense as anybody in Robert Saleh. He went against them, for 4 years in practice? And he couldn't find a way to stop him?
Was it weird to root for Aaron Rodgers last night? Rooting for the Niners.
I wasn't rooting for the Niners, but I wasn't rooting for Aaron. That's a tough one.
So how are you watching this then?
I was
just rooting
angry.
For misery
I was just
on
angry
both sides?
Last night. Yes, I was just angry. I was angry. I hate watching the Monday Night Football game.
I want to take everybody inside John Jansen's life. CMC gets scratched. He doesn't want either team to win.
Well,
he's losing
to
his daughter.
Is I don't want San Francisco to do good simply because, like, there's a lot of guys. Like, Trent Williams, I think, is a great offensive lineman, second only to Penei Sewell. I love watching him play. Ronnie Bell, we're talking about him last night. Now, he didn't, not a big part of the game plan, but because I like Ronnie Bell. I like Christian McCaffrey. I love Brock Purdy. I just don't want San Francisco to win. Yet my number one pick was Christian McCaffrey. I'm caught in the some type of vortex.
So Jim asked me this off the air after the show yesterday, and it pained me to say that I was rooting for the Jets and Aaron Rodgers because what's best for the Lions is for the 49ers to lose. Mm-hmm. But every single other element was in play to root for the Niners.
But
I hate Aaron Rodgers so much.
I was trying to remove my disdain for Aaron. And it was more about Robert Saleh, because I really like Robert Saleh. Obviously, he's a local guy. Mm-hmm. He's a great dude. And I want him to find success. And I don't know if they don't make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers.
He gone.
Is he gone? Because he was all in on Aaron Rodgers. And Hassan Reddick, did you see the amount of fines this dude is racking? $2 million so far, and he's missing $800,000 every game.
It's calculated.
Yeah, you're going to need a calculator that has extra zeros on it.
I think for him, though, if I'm playing the game, they're going to lose week one, and you're going to come back to the negotiating table, and you're going to make up those fines, or you're going to lose in week two.
I don't know who they have in week two.
I don't know who they have either. But that's got to be
the Giants.
That's got to be his game.
Oh, they play the Titans. That's a win.
There you go.
Especially if Will Levis is at quarterback.
But I think some of this is you want to...
What a train wreck.
Some of this is you want to make them sweat, right? This
then
is what happened last
Patriots.
Year.
Okay. I know the big win over Cincinnati, but I don't think anybody really believes
it. I don't believe in them either. But some of this is probably the Chris Jones playbook. If you lose week one, you try to make them sweat. You try to get back to the negotiating table, make up the fines, make up a little bit of a pay raise, and then move on. But that's gotten toxic.
Yeah.
Welcome to Jets football. All right, 248-539-9797, Monday night game in the books. We have a baseball team worth discussing in September. Got some thoughts on them coming up next. Greg Palm at 635, two Grand Slam at 725. It's 97.1. And tell you about Moran Chevrolet, because you got to get off the sidelines and get into the game with Moran Chevrolet, where GM employees and immediate family members have a great deal. You can lease a 2024 Equinox EV for just $268 per month. That's zero down. $268 per month. Moran Chevrolet, where you can always get the best price, period. Moran has shipments arriving daily. They're going to have the vehicle you're looking for. Score your best deal. Shop online. Couple clicks away. It's moranexpress.com or stop by and see what they have. They're on Gratiot north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
They didn't even play last night. Made up a half game. Three games out of a playoff spot. John, we have a playoff race.
It's fun. It's entertaining.
I don't know how this is going to end. Okay, maybe some people believe they're going to make the playoffs. To me, being in this playoff chase is significant. This team was left for dead at the deadline. They're a young team. Nobody thought they'd be here. It's to their credit that the players themselves stepped up, and they are in this position.
And that they have developed. They're still developing going on. There's no question. Chase Young, Sweeney, and even the guys that Parker Meadows, still developing. Cole Keith, still developing. But they've done everything that Scott Harris has asked of them to create a foundation. And now with, 17 games left, whatever it is.
18.
18 games left. There's a tough road. With the 9-game stretch, you know, 6 against Baltimore, 3 against Kansas City, 6 of those on the road. Tough stretch, but they are in a playoff race. And now it doesn't take a lot to flip the situation. It just takes a little support at the plate, and you're going to, because you did sell at the deadline, you're down a pitcher in Flaherty, you can't go into the season with group effort days, you're going to have to add on the mound. But you're not going to you don't have to add a whole team, just a supporting cast. And that's what he said. If there's a foundation, ownership will spend.
3 games back, you got the last 3 against the White Sox. So you start to kind of shrink this down. And if you assume you're going to beat the worst team in the history of baseball 3 straight times to end the season, it helps the math a little bit, right?
The only hold back on that
is... Well, they're 9-1 against the White Sox this year, and that team has quit.
Right, but if the Tigers, a division opponent with the Sox, now it's not like they could just all of a sudden turn the switch on and say, okay, well, we're going to win today, but their motivation for knocking out a division opponent, if they're, let's just say they're 2 back, and Minnesota gets swept by Baltimore in that series, and it comes down to that last game, Tigers win, they're in, I guarantee you get the best effort possible from the Chicago White Sox.
I mean, okay.
Their best effort
is not very good. So, best of luck to them. So, you got to be better than the Twins. The stretch that everybody's going to focus on is the 9 games where they face Baltimore, Kansas City, Baltimore. Mm-hmm. 5-4 in that stretch.
And Kansas City's in Kansas City.
Yep.
And the last 3 of Baltimore are in Baltimore.
But, let's cobble together. Let's say you can go 5-4 in that stretch. Because, again, you got to be playing good baseball. Right. You can't rely on other people to lose. You're still out of it. 5-4 there. Can they sweep the Rockies, sweep the White Sox? Like, you start building. It's not going to be easy, but the case is there.
What do they have to do against Tampa?
Two of 3 would make them 13-5.
So win the series.
Yeah. that'd make him 13-5 and get him to 86 wins. Right on that line. Again, that involves two sweeps, a series win, and a winning record against those good teams, too.
I want to enjoy every minute of the fact that they are in a race. Whether you believe it's probable, likely, improbable, I don't care. Use any adjective you want. They're in the race. The fact that they would end this season with 86 wins, like go back to before the hot streak, right before the All-Star break, when we thought that this team was toast, and then selling at the deadline, we thought that there was a chance this team could lose 90 games.
I remember those days.
Yeah, I mean, it's really incredible what they've done. Jim, you said 86 wins. I do think that that's the max, unless somebody just takes off.
Well, they could win out.
I think 86 wins.
What if they went out?
If they went out, they win 91.
Yes.
All right, seriously.
Fantasy land.
You always derail me. I do think 86 is the... I don't think anybody gets above 86. But 13-5, that is hard to do, man. Like, we're saying...
Didn't they just go on a 13-5 run?
Listen to you.
I'm just saying, we're sitting here talking about... Because I think it's improbable.
When we started talking about
this... But they have done it.
Back a couple weeks ago. And they've continued to give themselves a shot. They're making the progress we asked for. They got it to the three games before we actually asked for it.
Yeah.
We asked for the three games after the Rocky series. So, it's house money with what we did. But... Remember, it goes back to the 33-11, the last 44 that we had thrown out there.
Yeah.
So that is 750 baseball. It's extremely hard to do for a quarter of the season.
It'd be one of the most miraculous stories we've seen in the history of Detroit sports. 11-5, the last 16 games. They'd have to go 13-5 in the next 18 games to get where we're talking.
Can they put 3 weeks of great baseball together? It's all they need, 3 weeks.
Come on. The Lions... season here and the Tigers in a race.
I'd love to know what the
times, baby. Good times.
I'd love to know what the approach is by AJ today when they all get to the ballpark. They had an off day yesterday. They came back from the West Coast. Who knows what was maybe said on the plane, you know? But they've gotten even closer. It's just like he'll never tell us. We talked to him Thursday.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey. Like, what's the right words you say to them? Because they've got a shot now. He has to acknowledge they have a shot.
Montero, Mize, Skubal. Those are your three starters.
We don't need starters. I'd rather have openers.
And they're facing a gas can tonight. All right, let's get to Heather with the news. Heather, good morning.
Hey, you guys. Good morning. So the union representing Miami-Dade police officers says that Tyreek Hill was uncooperative during his traffic stop before his game on Sunday. And in a statement, the union president said that Hill was briefly detained for officer safety and that he was not immediately cooperative with the officers on the scene. And sources say he received citations for careless driving and a seatbelt violation. Now, there has been body cam footage of the detainment that's been released, and it shows these officers pulling Hill out of his car, forcing him to the pavement before putting him in handcuffs. And it took approximately 1 minute from when the officer leaves his motorcycle to start walking towards Hill's car before he puts him in handcuffs. So it all happened very quickly. And you can see the officer knock on Hill's window. Hill does roll down the window, hands the officer his identification and everything he needs to hand over, and then rolls his window back up. And you can see the officer saying, hey, you need to roll that down. Hill saying, no, I'm going to roll back up. And so here's the footage that was released. Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins released a statement saying that this conduct is maddening and heartbreaking, excessive force from the police. I'm not telling you Tyreek Hill is a good person, but I don't think he deserved to be thrown to the ground the way he was. I don't think the police should have escalated it the way they did.
And it was escalated very quickly. Like I said, it happened very, very fast. I mean, I agree with you. I don't think that he should have been pulled out of the car. They had the officer was holding him down with a knee on his back, right? And then when they asked him to go sit down on the side on the curb, he had said that he had had knee surgery, and that's why it was taking longer. And then one officer basically came over and just like, nope, you're sitting down, grabbed him, put his arms around his neck, sat him down. It does seem very extreme for not rolling down your window. But he also should have rolled down his window, right?
Yeah, I mean, he clearly had an attitude, but I don't think it's justified what they did. right? I mean, he clearly had an attitude, but I don't think it's justified the way they handled themselves.
Yep. A Detroit woman is facing a felony charge after her 30-year-old son, her 3-year-old son got a hold of an unsecured gun last week and accidentally shot himself. So last Friday, authorities say this mom put her gun on a dresser, and this little boy, the toddler, found it, shot himself in the face. Thankfully, the little boy is going to be okay, right? He survived. That's the great news. The mom was charged with violating the state's safe firearm storage law. That's a 5-year felony. Finally, some good news. Eminem is headed to the VMAs. He is set to open Wednesday's MTV Video Music Awards, and he's going to be in great company. There's going to be a lot of other artists, Sabrina Carpenter, Halsey, Shawn Mendes, Camila Cabello, Lenny Kravitz. The list goes on and on and on and on. And this, of course, is not his first rodeo. His last appearance at the VMAs was in 2022. He also performed in 1999, 2000, 2002, 2010. So he's been there before. He is up for 8 awards at this show, including Artist of the Year. And Taylor Swift, she leads all nominees with 12 nominations this year, followed by Post Malone with 11.
Yeah.
It's Heather with the news. All right. We've got Greg Palm coming up next. College football rankings update. Michigan, Notre Dame, both with losses. Where are they? Are they even on the list? It's 97.1. Notre Dame upset by NIU. Michigan falls to Texas. Let's get to Greg Palm.
Lots of movement in Greg Palm this week, but a lot of reassurance. I felt very good about the 12 teams that I had in this week's rankings and where I slotted them.
Okay.
First, before we get to the rankings, a little bit of flowers for myself. You know, it was, or I should say for the Greg Palm 24,000, it was suggested that maybe Notre Dame should be the number 2 team in the country.
Yeah, what idiot said that?
After the win at Texas A&M, we're not going to overrate teams based on nice wins after week 1. There's still a bit of theory to be played out here in the rankings, and that showed up with Notre Dame falling out flat. And by the way, not a fluky loss to Northern Illinois. Not like they're outgaining them 2-1. They turned the ball over 4 times. Northern Illinois outgained them by 102 yards, ended up winning on a field goal with 30 seconds left. So kudos to the Huskies. Number 12, we begin the rankings, representing the Big Ten Conference. Blue Blood Program. Iconic helmets. Legendary venue. The USC Trojans. 2-0. They've got a bye week coming up. This is more really about their week 1 win against LSU in a neutral site. Entertaining game. Won it. Looked really good. Their defense looks not just competent, but actually pretty good.
It does.
They back it up with a 48-0 drubbing of Utah State. Look, them moving back up in the rankings is a little bit of a factor of who is falling out of the rankings. And look, that's how you got to climb. Other teams are going to have to fall ahead of you, and you just climb past them.
You win, they lose.
So it's not a knock against USC. Number 11, Tennessee. Them and USC is close. They're very, very similar resumes. Both have neutral site power 4 wins. To me, the difference is UT's emphatic win over an experienced NC State team. They have an experienced offensive line and an experienced quarterback in Grayson McCall. Nico Iamalayava looks
well done.
Real. He is well. Gosh, now I'm just trying to recover my brain power after having to say the whole name.
I'm just going to go with Nico the entire time, but he has burst onto the college scene. He's really good.
Yes, much ballyhooed, a lot of hype behind him. Yep. He looks the part through 2 weeks. Number 10, Utah. Guys, I've got a riddle for you. When is a conference game not a conference game? When you switch conferences in the offseason and don't want to put the energy into changing your non-conference slate. That's what happened with Utah and Baylor. Right.
Wait, that wasn't a Big 12 game?
That was not. It does not count for
the
Big 12 standings.
That was a non-conference schedule. Yeah, and it doesn't count for. But my concern about Utah, didn't Cam Rising go down in this game again?
Yes, good question.
I was going to ask, how does that work in the computer?
So Cam Rising got a little update from Whittingham. It doesn't seem as serious as it did at first. So might be back next week. don't know, they are playing at Utah State. This, by the way, is a little bit of an interesting schedule. We got a lot of state names versus the state college
rivalries
in non-conference. So we have this with Utah and Utah State.
Yep.
Number nine, I'm going to go with the Missouri Tigers.
Looking good.
So last week I thought they had an early September. This week looks a little bit more challenging with BC, and that's why it's the Greg Palm Game of the Week.
Let's go.
We're tamming to your city, Columbia, Missouri. We're going to have Will Birchfield as the guest picker, and we'll see what Foamhead, the Greg Palm 24,000, puts on. Big question for both of these teams. Is BC for real? Can BC stay ranked? Can they get a top 10 win? Hey, a legitimate top 10 win, because Florida State, the only reason they were ranked number 10 was because the polls hadn't updated.
Yep.
Can they stay ranked? Is FSU that bad? That's another question to be determined here. And is this a bit of a challenge for Missouri at home?
Number eight.
Yeah.
Number eight. We're going to go with Miami. The U moves up a couple of spots from last week. Look, kept rolling. Another chance to do it this week against Ball State. Cam Ward.
He's really good and so confident in that for what he's doing there. New offense, new everything, and he's so calm.
Number seven, I'm going to go with Penn State. James, it's a little bit tight against Bowling Green. They were trailing Bowling Green in the third quarter. They didn't take the lead again until the midway of the third quarter. So a little bit closer there against a MAC team.
Hey, the
so
Mighty MAC, put some respect on the MAC's name.
Yes. I mean, no Central, right? Number six, the Oregon Ducks. Look, that's two closer than expected games from them now.
Yep.
I would like to see what the other 49 states outside of Idaho can do with Oregon. Look, they have problems protecting Dylan Gabriel. That's three sacks against Idaho, four sacks against Boise State. They only gave up 10 sacks, I was reading aside, the last 2 years combined.
Whoa. Yeah, well, and here's the thing about Boise State. Boise State may be the non-Power 4 representative in the college football playoffs. They're really good. They're a physical program. So I'm still, it's kind of more wait and see about Oregon and what they are and what they'll be this year.
Yeah, interesting to see them on the road at a rival that is recovering from massive offseason losses, left behind by the other Pac-12 mates that have gone elsewhere in the Big 12 and the Big 10. Fun fact, by the way, ESPN.com still has a drop-down menu for the Pac-12, so you can get both of the Washington State and Oregon State scores.
Yes, I did see that.
Isolating those games in the scoreboard feed in ESPN. So number six is Oregon. Number five, Alabama. Closer than the score indicated against USF. It was 14-13 at the end of the fourth quarter. At the end of the third quarter with Alabama trying to go in. This basically the equivalent of brushing your teeth three times before going to the dentist's office. They ended up winning 42-16. Yes. Look forward to a non-conference road game. It's actually big noon Saturday. They're at Wisconsin this week.
Right. It's going to be a fun game.
Number four, Ole Miss. Very similar to Alabama. Took care of business. They got an interesting non-conference road game this week at Wake Forest. Number three, the Ohio State University. Hey, look, congrats to them. They got their biggest win in 4 years last week when Texas beat Michigan. Look, they've beaten two MAC teams. Credit to them. They've had no trouble with them. But look, it's basically cardboard for the first 2 weeks. This demotion is not about them. This demotion is about the number two team.
Yeah.
The Texas Longhorns. By the way, I didn't say Ohio State has a bye this coming week. We won't see them. Number two, the Texas Longhorns. They had the Michigan game on their terms throughout the entire game.
I mean, from coin flip to final whistle.
Look, maybe I would say that first third and 13 when Ewers had time, they go the deep shot, they beat the corner and the safety there with the deep shot for the big gain. After that,
game over.
Almost no game pressure on them. Game pressure on them in the second half. And a quarter plus of garbage time, which is incredible. I haven't seen that on a Michigan team in a long time.
In the Big House.
100-plus combined start from that offensive line, which was important. that was the most eye-popping part of Texas' win. I counted one U of M tackle for loss that was not on a broken play when the game was even close
right.
to being in question. Look, the O-line and the quarterback, those are six players that Michigan had last year. They don't have this year, and Texas does have this year. That puts them as national title contender.
And Quinn Ewers jumped up to the favorite after 2 weeks to win the Heisman.
And number one, Georgia. Yawn, as expected, beat Tennessee Tech. They begin conference play this week. They are at Kentucky. So an interesting week three matchup for them.
Something to spotlight. October 19th, number one against number two.
And you've got Missouri versus, who do they have this week as your...
Boston College.
Oh,
24th ranked Boston College.
Right, so that's your game of the week.
Yes.
Interesting. I would put a close second, just out of curiosity, as the Alabama-Wisconsin game.
That was considered two, and then Civil War was a good
right,
one too.
Right.
Yep. Oregon State. Rivalries aren't all dead. That's Greg Palm. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to ask you as many questions as you're willing to answer and some follow-up questions so that they can build a financial plan that is unique to you and fits your situation. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. And they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Yesterday was a busy Lions day, and they're still part of the show today. Dan Campbell going to join us at 8:02. Still lots to talk about with our football team, but we need to get a little deeper into the Michigan football program. Talk about some of the issues they're facing right now.
Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you play statement games in college football, and that was a hell of a statement for the state of the program. They weren't close. They weren't competitive. Texas went in, blew their doors off. So, John, I think we start with the biggest issue with this football team. What is it?
I know everybody wants to say quarterback, but I think he's at a disadvantage. No matter if it's Orji, if it's Davis Warren, throwing any quarterback, it's the offensive line not getting the run game going. Because this is an offense that is based on being able to run the football. It opens up everything else. It opens up play action pass. And then if you're behind the sticks, it's not also not an offensive line that is going to be able to block, you know, 5-on-4. They're just not. They don't have the ability to block one-on-one in a third and long situation. So your quarterback is vulnerable. I think that's the biggest issue. The next biggest issue is, I believe, play calling. You get down the line, and yes, you do get to quarterback, but I'm not going to throw Davis Warren under the bus and say he is the biggest issue. You could say that not going to the transfer portal is an issue. And it's developing into that. Whatever they thought, but here's the other thing we don't know about that. Maybe they did go after some of those quarterbacks. Not like free agency where you get a chance to see, oh, you know, who's the list of free agents that are visiting or who they offered a position. So some of that's unknown. The fact of the matter is they have a quarterback room and they're not getting the play that they need, but I think they're at a huge disadvantage because the offensive line is not performing to what Michigan's offense needs it to be.
You're resetting that offense with all the guys you lost. And the one way that you can overcome that is if you have a dynamic playmaker at quarterback. Needless to say, they don't. They don't have a difference maker at the quarterback position. And I'm not quite sure how they got caught with their pants down. Because this staff, Sharon was here all this time. Harbaugh, you can blame him if you like for not keeping the cupboard stocked. But it's also on this staff to leave no stone unturned in the era of the portal, in the era of
right.
of the transfers.
The thing is, you don't know what stones they turned over, and maybe they just didn't want to come to Michigan. But I do think there's a lot of blame to be put on Harbaugh. And it's not just, hey, he didn't leave until January 24. The winter transfer portal window was closed. That's when a majority of the high-profile
sure.
quarterbacks decided where they want to go. Now, maybe they did make those calls, and I think it goes back to 3 years ago when Harbaugh was flirting with the Vikings. It goes back to 2 years ago when he's flirting with the Denver Broncos. And then ultimately this year, he goes to the Chargers. How many of those quarterbacks wanted to go into, whether or not they thought Sherrone was going to get the job or not, wanted to walk into a situation that they didn't know who the head coach was going to be, even if they believed it was going to be Sherrone Moore? And here's the other thing. Jim Harbaugh is not for everyone. He's a weird dude. I'm not sure if you understand this. He's a weird dude.
Yeah, I'm aware.
So there's a lot of quarterbacks that be like, you know what? Hey, do I want to go to Michigan where they're not going to throw the ball very much? I know it worked out for JJ. He was a top 10 pick. But how many, it's the same reason that they haven't really been able to recruit a top level or get a top level receiver in the transfer portal. Do you want to, as a receiver, high profile receiver or quarterback, do you want to go to Michigan and hand the ball off?
What I'm hearing is Michigan's an undesirable place to play football. And I don't know
I think it's the right, you have to have the right mentality. I would say they're selective, but I think the players are more selective of where they want to go.
Then maybe you should be more appealing as a program.
Like winning a national championship?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why they can't then.
But they did it.
You're the one
they
telling me that there are certain roadblocks.
How many teams in the recent past have been able to be a run-first team, a run-heavy team, and win a national title? They did it in an unorthodox manner. How often can that be repeated? We look at Georgia. Georgia, yes, they can run the ball. They've had a good offensive line, but they have dynamic playmakers on the outside. Alabama's always been a dynamic offense. Can they run the ball? Yes. I'm not saying any of these teams can't, but they're programs that are built on speed, built on explosive plays, and Michigan just wasn't built that way.
Is that a mistake?
To win a national championship way?
No, for the program moving forward. Again, we're looking forward now. No one's sad about winning a national title. Right. I'm not saying they built it wrong. They won a national title.
Do they need to evolve?
So then that becomes a Sherrone question, right?
He needs to evolve,
right.
Yes.
You know, he's a former O-line guy, but if you're going to play that way, it puts a strain on you.
Here's the other thing is Sherrone's not calling the plays. I think he needs to be calling the plays.
You think that solves this?
I think it helps this. You're not going to all of a sudden have a five-star offensive line or a five-star. But I think he does understand, when you look at last year, he has the ability to coach to the strengths of the team. And the strength of the team right now is not the quarterback. It's not the receivers.
What is it?
It's they have no identity.
How do you not have a strength? You won 15 games a year ago. Well, okay, you're Michigan for crying out loud.
Right.
You don't have a strength?
But look at their... You tell me what their strength is. Is it defense?
Well, I thought it would have been. I think Texas...
But that's the question. Is it defense?
So what are they actually good at? Like, I mean, when we really evaluate, this is a team that was preseason top 10. What are they actually good at? Like, that's a pretty damning question to even ask at this stage of the season.
Well, through 2 weeks, you can't say one way or another, because what are you going to say about Fresno State?
Right.
And there's no way to make up that difference. Now, can they be good at defense? They have studs.
I think they'll be good.
Will they be able to play good team defense? Yes, they can be. Can they be good as an offense? Yes. But they have to find ways to maximize the talents that they have. It's not third and long, and we're going to, hey, defense, pin your ears back. We can't protect that.
I think they'll be good on defense. The question is that good enough if you don't have anything going offensively? They had to be great on defense to make the playoff. I feel like we're staring at an 8-4 football team.
Very possibly could be.
I think we are too. I mean, unless they fix something and get better at something, I don't know how they do better than 8-4. Look, I overshot my wad on the defense. I thought they could be potentially the best defense in the country. I was wrong. I'm going to admit it. They're not. They lost too much. I thought they had enough NFL talent to be so. They're not.
I have them in the playoffs.
Right.
And they're not a playoff team right now.
Unless they fix something significantly, they can't finish 9-3, and even 9-3 might not get you in.
Right.
I do think you're overreacting, though, to the defense. Look, they gave up 369 yards. The offense turned the ball over a couple times and did not put them in advantageous situations. They didn't.
Tom, they couldn't get off the ball on third down. It could have been a 500-yard day if Texas didn't call off the dogs. Come on.
I think there's a little narrative going on about they could have hung 50. I do.
I mean, did we watch the same game? I think they could have.
Do you think they could have?
They were still throwing the ball deep in the fourth quarter. I don't know offensively that they called the dogs off. Defensively, they certainly got into the depth chart.
Yeah. Okay, but they didn't call the dogs off offensively, right. And they didn't hang 50. I think, look, they're still...
Your saving grace?
Jim, they didn't stop them in the red zone. That's what they've done in the past seasons against the good offenses, and that's why they beat Alabama, and they beat Ohio State three times. I still think they're a top 25 defense, and that's how they can... They're going to have to do it like Iowa. Guess what Iowa does, 9-3 or 8-4? We know what we have here. They have no answer at quarterback. It's inexcusable. And I think it's borderline with the contract situation with the coaching staff and Sharon Moore and what they've done at QB. It's kind of like you're seeing them lay down and almost they're ready to take the penalty.
Ward has said the delay is not NCAA related. The delay in finalizing the contract. That's what Ward Manuel has said publicly. The quarterback,
has Ward always told the truth?
I didn't say he was telling the truth. I'm just telling you what he said publicly. The quarterback situation is something I want to get into a little more because John said yesterday, and we didn't do a lot of Michigan yesterday, who could they have gotten in the portal? I'm going to give you some names. We could talk through it, but we do want to hear from you guys this morning. Michigan football, what's the biggest issue with the program right now? As you look at this team, how many wins do they finish with? It's 97-1.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.